The Carter warrant, FISA warrant, was not only given once, but three times it was renewed. This was not spying. This was not irresponsible by the law enforcement of the United States. And for the Attorney General to say so is a stain on his reputation, which I frankly don't even recognize the guy anymore. I am outraged that he would do that to the law enforcement and to the criminal justice system in the United States.
Last night, former Republican colleague of Bill Barr. Listen, I thought we'd get to Barr right away. I wanted to get Chuck Todd's Masters picks. And then Julian Assange was selfish and got arrested this morning. Good morning, Chuck.
Well, good morning. Assange isn't playing in the Masters, is he?
He's got a 7-10 now.
Does he? They have an earlier tee time? Is that what it is?
They needed a fourth. All right, so let's start there. Why now? And, of course, this doesn't hurt the whole distraction from Brexit to some degree.
Well, yeah, but this is about the Ecuadorian government, who I think sort of had its was feeling the pressure from multiple countries, not just the United States. And I think they had just sort of goodwill they felt they owed him, or for some reason that went away. I think there's been some change in the political dynamics in Ecuador as well. So that's really where this came from. And once he lost that protection, that's it. So it'll be interesting. I assume the United States gets him first. And then we're going to find out what's in that indictment. But this is what's fascinating about this indictment on Assange is that it's likely to go back to way back to the Chelsea Manning releases. Then we have the Snowden thing, and then you have the Russian stolen emails. It is interesting how involved he is in multiple aspects of major controversies in this country over the last decade.
Good day or bad day for President Trump based on Assange being arrested?
Oh, I don't know if it has an impact on him. I mean, you know, look, I think the president has been handed a huge gift in what Bill Barr did for him. I don't know if it's politically helpful, but long term, but certainly short term, it is. I mean, this Mueller report, the impact of it has been muted, pure and simple. And for that, if you're Donald Trump, you've got to feel good this morning.
If you're Julian Assange, courage is defined by hiding in the Ecuadorian embassy and releasing documents and claiming you're a hero. Get him into a situation where he's looking at a lot of jail time with people that could hurt him or kill him or make it very uncomfortable for him. Mm-hmm. He would give up everybody, including his mother, in my opinion. So do you think he's got anybody to give up?
I don't know. I mean, is he a journalist or, you know, was he ever a journalist?
No.
And did he end up a witting agent of the Russian intelligence or an unwitting agent of the Russian intelligence? Because he was an agent of Russian intelligence. We just don't know if it was witting or unwitting. And it's possible he could provide. I've always believed an American curated the emails on Podesta because something changed with Assange. With the Snowden files and with the Chelsea Manning files, he released it in the way that a journalist might release something like that. Hey, I've got all of this stuff. Here you go. Have at it. With the Podesta emails, that was not a journalistic enterprise. That was an intelligence operation because it was released piecemeal every day. Databases were created so you could search it and all of these things, and you're just sitting there going, This had a level of sophistication and help. So I've always believed an American helped because of how well coordinated the releases of those emails were. They were always timed just right, identified just the right journalists, things like that. It's somebody very familiar with the American media and political landscape. So in that sense, Julian Assange could reveal who the American or American operatives were that helped him put together the Podesta emails, because the Russians didn't do that. The Russians stole the emails. They didn't sort them.
Good or bad day for Putin?
Oh, I think it's a bad day for Putin. I mean, I think Julian Assange and WikiLeaks has been one of the greatest weapons he's had against the West for a decade. So in that sense, a very bad day for Putin. This was a That said, I mean, you know, he certainly knows how to operate in this world, and maybe he'll prop up a new WikiLeaks of some form. But I think this is a bad day for him.
Bill Barr seemed to be a pretty likable guy, and you know, has a decent reputation, and seemed to serve Bush one well. A lot of people were curious as to why he would even want to be mixed up in this mess when he agreed to be the nominee, got through his confirmation hearings, and in day one this week in a separate committee hearing, seemed to acquit himself okay. I mean, there were lots of questions that didn't get answered, and certainly putting up a fuss about what Russia did would have been well intended. But yesterday, to drop in the word spy about a legitimate FBI investigation, is that clumsy or is that intentional?
If his walk back had been a real walk back, then we could have said it was clumsy. But now, when you look at the totality of it, I understand if people think it was intentional. It was certainly the word he intended to use. He thought about it. That wasn't you know, in that sense. And look, it's a word you use if all you do is watch Fox News. If you just sit there and just take the incoming of the Fox propaganda, then that's the language you use. And it's just surprising that the chief law enforcement officer of this country would basically mainstream this attack on the FBI. And you know, it's funny that he made reference to the 60s. You know, I'm old enough to remember the 60s and the spying on anti-war activists. So, okay, that was the FBI, perhaps in its worst reputational days. So, I guess Bill Barr thinks that's what the FBI is. The same FBI that harassed Martin Luther King, that's what he believes. Because that's essentially what he was implying with his spying remark. And by making that second comment, told me the spying remark wasn't a clumsy thing. He is going that far, and it seems as if, as the Attorney General, he could have gotten this information already and known. By the way, there's already been an Inspector General's investigation. Yeah. There's already been multiple congressional investigations. None of these conspiracies have been proven that it was some sort of spy ring trying to take down Donald Trump. So why he says he's got to look at it again, you only look at it again if you literally have been doing nothing but listening to Sean Hannity before you go to bed at night.
Well, and why risk a reputation? I don't understand the upside for him. What's in this for him?
I don't know. I have no idea. I have no idea what his motive is. But I can tell you this. He's now Donald Trump's Roy Cohn. Is that what he wanted? Is that the descriptor he wanted? Trump's been looking for his Roy Cohn. He wants an attorney general that protects him. Well, this attorney general is protecting him. And by the way, it's sort of over. You know, it's funny. I'm having this debate with some of my colleagues internally. I said, well, you know, Trump's won the Mueller report. It doesn't matter what's in it anymore, because this is sort of the exclamation point here by Barr. But by just dropping the S word with spying, it just hardens it all. It won't really matter what's in there. That isn't going to persuade anybody. What's in the report, and essentially Barr's already tainted it. Barr's descriptions, everything. He's already tainted the results of the Mueller report, and he's polarized it and partisanized it. I mean, he's done exactly what I assume the entire special counsel provision was intended to avoid. He has politicized the most important investigation in this country in the last 2 years.
Yeah, and to take 2 years of Mueller's work to summarize it in one weekend, to say to the committee yesterday, I can't talk to you about
a summary.
Yeah,
it's not a summary.
Yeah, it's not a summary, and I'm not going to talk about why I came to those conclusions. Oh, but by the way, there are spies in the FBI. I mean, it was just bizarre.
And I'm not going to. But I don't have any information to back up that allegation.
Yeah, it's disappointing. Really disappointing for somebody that I thought differently.
It felt like the testimony. Felt like the testimony of a pundit. That's all. It just felt like somebody who was just yanked off the set of Jeanine Pirro's and just started testifying. He has all this information. He's the attorney general. He has all of this information at hand. He knows the truth.
You don't have a sense there's another shooter dropping this somewhere? Not about Barr, but about the Mueller thing, and I don't know what it is. That there's another shooter drop somewhere with us.
I would say the president's erratic behavior must be leading to something, but that's been 2 years of
erratic behavior.
Erratic behavior. Yeah. It just leads to more erratic behavior, right? Like that's the. It's funny. Mark Murray and I, as we were working on our first read newsletter this morning, he said, boy, it's a lot of agita over the last 12 hours, right? You know, whether it's Assange and the Barr and Mnuchin and all this stuff. And I'm like, yeah, maybe he really does fear what's in the Mueller report, or maybe this is just another day in the life of Donald Trump. You know, like we're so numb to the agita, and it's so frequent that you don't know if it's being done because something bigger's coming or if it's just being done for done's sake.
Just makes you tired, Chuck. I don't know how you do it every day. Pat Brady, say hi to Chuck.
Hey, Chuck, happy birthday. We share a birthday April 8th, so hope you had a good day.
Nice. You know the best thing about our birthday is, I always say, is the Hank Aaron anniversary home run.
And I watched it, and guess who else's birthday is April 8th?
Who's that?
Claire Underwood.
Is that right?
Yes, vice president.
Oh, that is true. You're right. I remember that in House of Cards. You're absolutely right.
And she, by the way, is not nearly as vicious as you two.
She got there. Hey, I watched Sunday.
We also shared Tom DeLay, by the way. But anyway.
Oh, okay. All right, thank you. But
which of these don't belong?
No, you're too young. Did you watch Hank Aaron hit that home run?
No, I was two, but it was against my Dodgers, and so my dad says we were watching. He was watching. It was Al Downing, so I at
high
least
fastball,
know that
yep.
part of it.
Yep. Great memory. Hey, great interview of Mayor Pete, who's just down the road here. Does he have a chance, or are they going too far left?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think, you know, it's Pete Buttigieg to me is what everybody told me Beto O'Rourke was going to be. Meaning sort of this new voice who is trying not to sound like the old sort of conventional politician, that he's trying to come at things with a different perspective, a more authentic voice, things like that. So he has struck me so far as what everybody tells me Beto can be. You know, and I haven't spent enough time with Beto to sit here and say that, you know, maybe he has that ability too. Here's my question about Mayor Pete, is I am curious to see what he's going to look like in front of 10,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
This is a guy that I think is really good in living rooms. He is built for the Iowa caucuses. All right. The living room, this guy is going to be, he feels there is this freshness to him. I get the idea that, oh, maybe he's not been tainted by the system. He's not been corrupted by our cynicism, right? I think that's where his youthfulness plays into that a little bit. But I'm curious, can he command a rally? Because as we all know, we pick, you know, presidents in some instances, we want them to be bigger than life. So you've got to look like you can. You're in charge of a big crowd, and I know that seems superficial.
No, it's not.
But it's part of the job, and I'm very curious. He has his announcement. How's he going to look on the big stage?
That's
because he's doing
about,
the little stuff really well.
They say that a lot about Mitch Daniels.
Yes, and by the way, that's why Mitch Daniels is not president of the United States. Mitch Daniels is somebody who I would say, among the living people that I've covered, he's one of the five people in this country that should be president of the United States.
Yeah.
Okay, that if you were to have an interview process on the people who are most qualified for the job,
yeah, he's the guy.
He's one of your finalists. I think he is just. I just think this is one of the most ethical, honorable people that have been in politics. Yes, he practices some politics, and and he's got his own ideological beliefs and all of that stuff. But this is. But his personality just wasn't big enough. And yeah. I know that sounds
No, it's
unfair,
not. It's the real world. It's the real world.
Process.
Yeah, it's absolutely the real world. The Chuck Toddcast, which is a name that really creeps Chuck out, and it's still, but it works. MTP Daily and Meet the Press. Boy, you got nothing for Sunday. Good luck figuring out what that show is.
Well, a lot of it has to do, are we going to get the redacted report, color-coded, in four colors, by the way, which I'm excited. Do we get that before Sunday or not? That has a big impact on what my show looks like.
It's the weirdest thing. Yesterday afternoon, I saw Barr. He was in line in front of me at Staples. Yeah, he was buying folders. All right, I'll see you later. That's Chuck Todd.